And there's a lot of people at home. I just see watching right now. We have Clinton, Luke and Priscilla, and we have the Croxons, and my niece Lisa's watching, and we even have someone in Queensland watching. Francois Koch is watching, and welcome to all of you out there. This is the first Sunday we have our new camera operating, and so that it should be much better. They say there's a bit of an echo there, but hopefully that's been repaired. So yeah, it's good to be with you out there and to be together with you. So please pray. Luke has been pretty sick, and Priscilla, for them to get well. For the others that are sick as well, we know Kerry, Benji, and Dora, and there's just so many people that have got COVID, and let's pray for them to get well. And then this morning, you know, I just sat here and I really missed Marlene sitting there behind me. And this week is her funeral, and the service is at 10:30 on Friday morning. It'll be wonderful if you can come along. We're going to have a real celebration as we say goodbye to her with her family. And Sandra put up our hand that our church will provide the eats for the wake. So ladies, please, and gents, if you're able to contribute and bring a plate, please speak to my wife. She's in the kids' church straight after the service, so we know who's bringing what and so on. So it'll be wonderful if you can contribute. Oh, Clinton's here. He was watching online. Yeah. Okay. No, I swear he was watching you online as well. And Mary. Okay. Oh. All righty. So, yeah, it's going to be a wonderful morning. It's going to be sad, but we know she'll be watching live as well, looking down at us from heaven. Right, well, this morning, what an honor it is to share the word. Very important subject, the Holy Spirit. And this is part two. Luke spoke on the promise of the Holy Spirit. And today, I want to speak to you on the subject of the person of the Holy Spirit. I really think in this day and age, we probably have neglected the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, a little. I think we have forgotten that it's through him that everything happens. It's through him that the word of God becomes alive. It's through him that we can hear God's voice, through the Holy Spirit. And some people speak of the Holy Spirit as it, but the Holy Spirit is a person. So I wanted to share a little bit, just to remind us this morning, and then at the end, we're going to have a time where we pray and trust the Holy Spirit just to do a work among us. Amen? Amen? Are you happy with that? Right, so let's read from John chapter 14, from verse 15 to 20. Jesus said this, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him." Him, the Holy Spirit. You got that? "For he lives with you and in you." The Holy Spirit lives in us. When we accept Jesus, we also accept the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that draws us to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that makes Jesus real to us. So without the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't be a Christian. Isn't that true? So it says here, he lives with you and he is in you. I think sometimes we don't realize that the Holy Spirit is in me. Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you before long. And the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me because I live. And also you will live, and on that day you will realize I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." And then John 16, you can read both these chapters. It's a lot about the Holy Spirit. And by the way, these notes, I can make them available to you afterwards if you want them. It says, "Ben, when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." Did you hear that? The Holy Spirit will guide us into the truth. "He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. That's the Holy Spirit. He will make known to us what the Father is thinking. And he will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Jesus is not here with us in person, but he's with us here through his Holy Spirit. And Jesus will say to us and make known to us through the Holy Spirit what he wants us to hear this morning. And hopefully he will use me. And it says he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive and make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit is with us. And the Holy Spirit ministers to us. And I'm going to share 11 things with you that the Holy Spirit does, the person of the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to end. And don't worry, I'm not going to take hours. I'll be as quick as possible, but I want you to hear this. Number one, if you're taking notes, if you're not taking notes, I can give you the notes afterwards. Number one, the Holy Spirit teaches us and reminds us what the Father wants us to know. Okay? John 14:26, the Helper. Jesus calls him the Helper. Also, the Comforter. Also calls him the Counselor. Comes alongside us. He counsels us. He helps us when we are weak. And he makes known to us what the Father is thinking about us. Think about that. How awesome is that? It says, whom the Father will send in my name. So the Father will send the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. This is so powerful. This is so important to understand that the Holy Spirit is the one who makes the Word of God alive. Come on. This book, without the Holy Spirit, if you read this book without the Holy Spirit, someone once said, you'll dry up. Because it'll just become a dead letter. Isn't that right? It's the Holy Spirit who makes the Word of God alive. Come on. Amen. That's why when I wake up in the morning and I read the Word every morning, I ask, Holy Spirit, come speak to me today. And then I journal for about 20 minutes. I journal and write down what I feel the Holy Spirit is saying to me. And but if you only have the Holy Spirit without the Word, what will happen to you? You'll blow up. I've seen people, they're so full of the Holy Spirit, but they don't. It's not based on the Word. And they're quoting this and they're saying that, and they actually just become a hindrance in the kingdom of God because they're full of themselves, and they're not full of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit makes the Word of God alive to us. It would be a dead letter without the Holy Spirit. You need to understand that. So, and he brings to your remembrance all I have said to you. So we should really make room for the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we were young, we used to sing all the songs about the Holy Spirit. Can some of you remember that?
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Remember all those songs we used to sing? We don't seem to sing them anymore. But I'm just saying this morning, we should. And we should also welcome the Holy Spirit at every service. Because it's the Holy Spirit that does the work in each one of us. So I'm really excited to be sharing this with you. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. Interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So people who don't know God, who don't have the Spirit, they don't understand spiritual things. They don't understand the Word of God. But we know, don't we? We know what in this book is true. We know that God is real. We know that God created this world. We know our God is in control. Excuse me. How do we know that? Through the Holy Spirit who is in us. Right. Point number two. The Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks. Listen to this. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join the chariot. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch was in the chariot and he was riding along and he was reading Isaiah and he didn't understand it. And all of a sudden, Philip gets the urge in his spirit, I must go and speak to that guy in the chariot. What? How did that happen? The Holy Spirit spoke to him. I think we don't realize how often the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We don't realize. We take it for granted. But often you get the urge. Often in the morning I wake up and I say, the Holy Spirit says to me, send someone a text. And I try and obey the Holy Spirit every day. I ask him, Lord, is there someone you want me to text this morning to encourage them? And you just know. And someone's name comes up. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen? And therefore, we should be asking the Holy Spirit who we can encourage every day. We should be asking the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said to me, and you know what? Philip obeyed the Holy Spirit. He went, jumped on the chariot, preached the gospel to him, and what happened? The man got saved, and he was baptized in water that very day. And because the Holy Spirit spoke. Acts 13 says, while they were worshiping and the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So I don't think they heard a voice out of heaven saying, set aside for me. It's just that they all just knew this is the right thing to do. It's Paul and Barnabas. So probably one of them said, I feel the Holy Spirit saying, let's set aside Paul and Barnabas. And they probably all said, yeah, we agree. That is the Holy Spirit saying that. And I believe that's how we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit together. Amen? And so they set them apart. The Holy Spirit can give you an urge to do something. I was walking in the hospital one day and the Holy Spirit said to me, go into that room and pray for that man. And I've done that. I've had that urge a few times. I just wouldn't even think of it. But the Holy Spirit does that. He speaks. Number three. The Holy Spirit makes decisions. It says here in Acts 15, 28, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements. So this was the council that they had there and they were giving advice to the church. And it seemed good to them and it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. Wow, you're going to make a major decision. It's so good to get together with fellow Christians or people you're close to and say, will you come and pray with me? You know, I need to change jobs, or I need to buy a house, or I need to do this. I just need some confirmation and direction. And then you come together and you pray, and then someone will say, I feel the Holy Spirit saying that you should do this or that or that. And there's a confirmation among you. That's how we work as elders, don't we, Dave and Pastor Eddie and Luke? When we pray and say, Holy Spirit, lead us. And then when we make a decision, it may seem good to Dave, good to Eddie, good to Ronnie, good to Luke, good to me, good to Eddie. And we say, the Holy Spirit said we must do this. And it seems good to the Holy Spirit and it seems good to us. Isn't that good? It's a good practice. It's a good practice because I've seen people make decisions and really get into trouble because they don't get counsel. The Holy Spirit is the counselor. He's the helper. He's the comforter. And that's how we should operate as Christians. That's point number three. Point number four, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Do you know that? You can grieve the Holy Spirit. I know that I've often grieved the Holy Spirit. And you just don't feel God's presence anymore. And you just, the heavens are like brass. And you feel far from God. And then I just repent and say, Holy Spirit, please forgive me. Fill me again. Whatever it is that's blocked, this conduit, just clear it out, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit flow through me again. You know, King David, when he sinned in Psalm 51, he cried out to God, verse 11. He said, Lord, do not take your presence from me or your Holy Spirit from me. A Christian without the Holy Spirit is the poorest person in town. Come on. Without the Holy Spirit, we are poor, we are naked, we are wretched. But that's why we've got to make room for the Holy Spirit every day. We've got to invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill us and invite Him to come, because He's a person and He's got feelings. He can be grieved. My gosh, do you ever grieve your wife, your husband? Wow, I often grieve my poor wife, and then she won't talk to me, and then I think, I wonder what I did wrong now. And then I've got to, I've got to suck up. And then I say, my sweetie, did I do something wrong? Why? Are you grieved? Are you mad at me? And then eventually she says, I'm not talking to you. Jeepers, must have been bad. But that was the problem. I wasn't talking to her. I wasn't listening. She told me something 3 times, and then she asked me what she just said, and I couldn't remember. Because I had other things on my mind. And then, it's a bad analogy, but, it's almost like Sandra and I became one when we got married. And it's like her spirit is with me, even when she's not there. Isn't that right? I mean, if I go into the kitchen, she's not there, and I make coffee, and I leave my coffee bag on the kitchen counter, oh, that annoys Sandra. I don't know why, but anyway, it really annoys if I leave the banana peels on the counter, or if I leave the teaspoon, then it makes a big mark there, and she really, little things like that, you know, and even when she's not there, I better not do that, because, you know, Sandra won't be happy. But it's a little bit the same with the Holy Spirit, you know. We may not see Him, He may not always feel like He's there, but we can grieve Him through our lifestyle, through the things we do, through the things we think, through having a bad attitude. We can grieve the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will just move away from us, and eventually we will know it, because we've grieved Him, we've grieved the Holy Spirit, and the only way He can come back is through repentance. We say, Lord, I'm sorry. Holy Spirit, I'm sorry I grieved You. I shouldn't have said what I said. I shouldn't have said that to Sandra, and ask forgiveness. Okay, so the Holy Spirit can also be outraged and get mad. Hebrews 10:29 says, how much worse the punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has outraged the Spirit of grace? The Holy Spirit is graceful. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus like a dove. And I watched the doves at my house there. Every day, because I feed our cockatiels, and then I throw some of the old seed out, and they come, and all the birds come there, and I watch them, and they're so gentle. And you know, the slightest thing can what's the word?
Upset them,
or cause them to fly away. And I think it's the same with the Holy Spirit. He's gentle. They're always watching, and they walk, and they're so cautious, you know. And the slightest thing, and boom, off they go. And I think we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can upset the Holy Spirit, because this scripture in Hebrews 10 is about us deliberately sinning. When we know something's wrong and we deliberately do it, we grieve the Holy Spirit. And it says here, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Do we need to understand that? Sorry, I don't have COVID. My blood group's actually B negative. It's true. My blood group is B negative. So I'm going to stay negative. I think my wife's A positive. And she was A positive for a few days. But only like 4 days. And then she came back to my blood group, B negative. Okay. So the Holy Spirit can be lied to. In Acts 5, verse 3 and 4, Ananias and Sapphira lied to Peter. And Peter says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the? You lied to the Holy Spirit. You have not lied to me. You have not lied to men, but you have lied to God. And telling lies is a very serious thing, because the Bible says liars will not enter the kingdom of God. Isn't that true? So Ananias and Sapphira both died that day. Wow. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to lie to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, yeah, what a terrible ending to that story. So we mustn't lie. We mustn't make up lies. We mustn't so easily we can say, oh, well, this, I don't go into church, this, oh, no, that, and that. And we grieve the Holy Spirit. Number 7, I'm doing well. It's only 25 past 10. I've got 5 to go, so I better take my time. The Spirit can prevent. The Spirit can prevent or forbid human speech and plans. Check this out, Acts 16. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word to Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Wow. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they were traveling together, and the Holy Spirit prevented them. Sometimes God prevents us from doing things. I'm sure many of you have experienced that. You had all plans to go and do this and that, and the Holy Spirit prevented you because there may have been some catastrophe ahead of you. The Holy Spirit prevented you from getting that job. Don't get mad if you apply for a job and you don't get it. If you're walking with the Lord, the Holy Spirit can prevent you from getting that job. Or whatever it is, employing that person, if you're a business person, or whatever. The Holy Spirit did not allow them. The Holy Spirit can close a door. Come on, people, we must realize that. It's the Holy Spirit working in us. And if you feel you want to do something, you get this horrible feeling, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be going there. It's the Holy Spirit preventing you, speaking to you. And forbidding you even to do some things. So the Holy Spirit is a person. He can speak. He can prevent us. He can give us counsel. He can lead us. Number 8, the Holy Spirit searches everything and comprehends God's thoughts. Listen to this. The Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. No one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit can make known to us what God is thinking about us. How awesome is that? Because He's thinking about you right now. For the thoughts I think towards you are not to harm you, but to bless you, says the Lord. God's thinking thoughts, good thoughts about us. And the Holy Spirit makes those thoughts known. You see, the opposite is the devil is putting bad thoughts in your mind, negative thoughts about yourself. Isn't that true? But the Holy Spirit, He's thinking good thoughts about you. He knows what God is thinking about you. I've just been reading the whole story of David in the Bible. And wow, you know, if you just read, I know David did some bad things. But if you read the big picture of David's life, you see what a kind person he was. What a good person he was. And you know why? Because at the age of 16, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And his life changed from that day. And David could have killed Saul on so many occasions, but he wouldn't do it. He could have killed his own son Absalom when he turned against him. That was my reading this morning. When Absalom rebelled against his own father after he had killed David's other son, Ammar, I think his name was, because he had slept with David's daughter. And we see that, you know, but David didn't. He was kind. That's why he was the apple of God's eye. He thought the thoughts of God. He knew the heart of God. And that's why he was the apple of God's eye. So, you know, the Holy Spirit knows God's thoughts. And He makes them known to us. And we can know, we can have the mind of Christ, the Bible says, through the Holy Spirit. So powerful. Number nine. Oh, gosh. I'm going to have early lunch today. The Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit intercedes on your behalf and my behalf. Did you know that? Listen to this. Romans 8 says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I don't know about you, but I'm weak at times. I'm weak. Sometimes I get thoughts I don't want to have. Sometimes things enter my mind that I don't want to think. I say, Holy Spirit, help me. For we do not know what to pray as we ought. Has that ever happened to you? You're praying for some people and you're so mad at them. You feel like praying judgment on them. And get them, Lord. And then you don't know what. Sometimes I don't know what to pray for some people and make me so mad. Not anyone in this church, of course, but overseas. But you don't know what to pray. Sometimes I don't know what to pray. And then what you do then, you start praying in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord gives you a prayer language you can pray in. I'm so grateful for my prayer language. And I start praying in my prayer language. And you know what it says here? But the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what's in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So when you reach the end of yourself, you don't know what to pray. Just saying, Holy Spirit, come and take control and start praying in your prayer language. Start praying in tongues and praying in your prayer language and start worshiping God. And then the Holy Spirit prays the word will of God for that situation. How powerful is that? Wow. So you don't realize. We don't realize the powerful part the Holy Spirit plays in our lives. We should acknowledge him more. And we should welcome him more. I just love this. You can pray in the Spirit. And then you can also sing in the Spirit. Amen? Just stay in the bathroom. You can't sing. But sing unto the Lord a new song. You'll see David says, sing unto the Lord a new song. He does it all the time. He praises the Lord. And the Bible says in Philippians. I'm thinking of the Filipino lunch now, sorry. Chapter 4, verse 6. To the end, eventually it says, you know, when you get together, one brings a hymn. One brings a word. And we sing unto the Lord and we worship him. The Holy Spirit does that. Point number 10. The Spirit bears witness to believers about the adoption. Now, this is a very powerful point. In fact, the next point is the same. It says, verse point 11 says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. How do you know that you're a Christian? You've got an inner witness. I know I am born again. I know I'm a son of the King of Kings. I know I've been adopted by Jesus, by the Father, into the kingdom of God. How do I know that? Sometimes I don't feel like a good Christian. But I know that because I have an inner witness of the Holy Spirit. The inner witness of the Holy Spirit is one of the most powerful things I have in my life. Excuse me. Because out of that comes all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. A word of wisdom. A word of knowledge. Miracles. When to pray for someone and know they're going to be healed. A word of faith. A word of healing. All of these things come out of that inner witness. When the Holy Spirit witnesses with your spirit, you just know that you know that you know. I mean, I don't care what they say out there in the world. I know that the word of God is true. I know because I have an inner witness of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, don't do something. get that inner witness. Get the peace of God. The Holy Spirit witnesses with my spirit. And I just know that I know that I know what I've got to do. Wow, this is so powerful. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. I know I'm a child of God because I have the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Not by anything good I've done, no, but because I've invited Jesus into my life. That's why we know that we know that we know that we don't believe in evolution. We don't believe half of what the world is saying out there. We don't believe. Because the world out there has moved so far away from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit. They're operating in every spirit but the Holy Spirit. But we have the Holy Spirit. And we know what we know. We know. And, you know, it says the Holy Spirit helps us when we are weak. The Holy Spirit counsels us. The Holy Spirit draws us to God. He teaches us. And He even tells us some things that are to come. Before I came to Australia and I was praying about coming here, the Holy Spirit showed me some things that would happen. And most of them have happened, but some will still happen. I know that. Even if I die, they'll happen after I died. Doesn't matter, but they will happen because the Holy Spirit told me. And when the Holy Spirit says something, He's the Spirit of truth. Amen? Amen. Now, in conclusion, I just want to share one Old Testament story. And it's the story of Saul. You know, Israel wanted a king. And the Lord said, I'm your king. I want to be your king. But the people continued. And the Lord said, okay, I'll give you a king. And the Lord chose Saul to be the king of Israel. Do you remember the story? And then Samuel went to anoint him with oil. And he anointed him. And it says this, then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you. Samuel says to Saul, he's looking for his father's cattle or donkeys or something. He can't find them and he's searching. And Saul says, Saul, come here. I've got something to say to you. The Spirit of the Lord's going to come upon you. And you will prophesy with the prophets. And you will be turned into another man. How powerful is that? And when these signs meet you, do what your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Then go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I'm coming down to you to offer burnt offerings, to sacrifice peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you shall do. And when he turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. I love this. God can give you another heart. God can change you into a different person through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you will just open up your life to God, He can change your life. If you're living a miserable life now, no, that's not the way God wants you to live. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, your life changes. You got hope. You got hope for the future. And it says this, and when they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets met, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed on him. Who's this? Saul. And he prophesied among them. And when all who knew him saw him, how he prophesied with the prophets, the people said to one another, what has come over the son of Kish? Is Saul among the prophets? And the man of the place answered, who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul among the prophets? I want to challenge you this morning. God's got more for you. Maybe you've never prophesied before. Maybe you've never operated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I've always said, I look forward to the day when there'll be a queue of people here. One saying, the Lord's given me a word of wisdom. Another saying, the Lord's given me a word of knowledge. Or a discerning of spirits. Or a prophetic word. Or a tongue or interpretation. And you know, those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has given to the church. And most churches, Pentecostal churches these days, don't allow that to happen anymore, which is sad. But I want to say to you this morning, I believe God wants to restore that back to the church. And I want to encourage you to say, me, prophesy? Well, you know, why don't you have a go, you mug? That's what John Lewis said. I remember the first time I ever got up and gave a prophetic word. I've never been so afraid in all my life. It was the most difficult thing I ever did. And it probably was a bit weird as well. And I had to be corrected afterwards. But anyway, I had a go, you know. If you make a mistake, we'll help you. But I want to encourage you to desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life. Before you get to church, maybe there's a word burning in your heart. Or maybe you got a word for someone. Say, Maria, the Lord, I woke up this morning, I was thinking, the Lord wants you to know this, you know. And check it out with the pastor first, sometimes a good thing to do, before you do it. But, you know, wouldn't it be great to see the gifts operating in the church again? I'm longing for that. So Saul was changed into another man. He began to prophesy because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then Peter, my namesake, what happened to him on the day of Pentecost? I mean, 50 days before that, he denied even knowing Jesus. Three times, even swore, denied knowing Jesus. But when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was changed into another man. And on the day of Pentecost, he stands up and he preaches a sermon and he quotes Joel. He says, in the last days it shall be, declares the Lord, I will pour my Spirit out on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Not televisions. Or sitting on your games all night, playing games, as some people seem to do these days. Your old men will dream dreams. Hallelujah. There's hope for us older people. And even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit and they shall prophesy. This is what the Lord said. But my point is, Peter, this guy, this arrogant fisherman who failed the Lord and always putting his foot in it, now becomes the vessel which God chooses on the day of Pentecost to preach the greatest sermon probably ever preached. 3,000 people get saved. And I love this scripture, and this is my last scripture. Acts 10:44. Peter's now visiting different churches in the book of Acts. And it says, while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Yeah, worship team, just come up. We're just going to have a time on waiting on God now. Can we do that? Can we just do that? It's only 20 to 11 and the food's not ready yet. And so the next 10 minutes, I would love us just to wait upon the Holy Spirit. And maybe the Lord will give you a word. Maybe you've never had a go before. Maybe the Lord will just give you a word to come up here and share this morning, to encourage the church, to encourage someone. Here comes Marguerite already. Awesome, Marguerite. We need a microphone. Who's got the microphone? Here we go. Come on, let's just wait a little. Let's just spend a bit of time and wait on the Holy Spirit. Go, Marguerite.
The Lord's been telling me that there are people that are in despair. And he says, don't despair. These times will pass. You will have troubles. There will be lots of troubles. But just remember always that I am with you. I am in you. And therefore, whatever you're doing is not through your own strength, but through mine. So just look to me and move on. And just remember, my promises are true. My promises are there. They will always be for you and your family. Don't despair. Just look up. Just look up. Yes. As it says, where does my strength come from? My strength comes from the hills Just look to the hills and look to the future.
Yes, Lord.
You are the future. No matter what you say or what you see at this time, don't go by what you see. Go by what you believe. What do you believe? Do you believe in me? Do you believe my promises are true? Yes, my promises are for you. For you who believe, for you who have accepted me, for you who are my children, I am your strength. Look to me and hold on to me.
Yes. What an awesome, awesome, encouraging word. Thank you, Marguerite. What an awesome. Don't despair. Maybe you're in despair this morning. You don't have to leave here in despair. Because we're going to pray for you. I'm going to ask people if they want to come up and be prayed for this morning and anointed. I'm going to do that and pray for you this morning that the Holy Spirit, our elders, will come. And we'll pray with you and encourage you this morning. If anyone else got a word, come up and share it. It may just be one sentence or one word. Doesn't matter. Let's just wait upon the Holy Spirit this morning. And let's just be still before Him. As the worship team will sing a song this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, welcome in this place, omnipotent Father of mercy and grace. Thou art welcome in this place.
And make it your prayer. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place.
Share it, brothers.
I believe that God would say to you today, Trust in the Lord your God and lean not upon your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will direct your paths. God is faithful and He loves you so much. Just trust Him. Put your hope in Him and He will not fail you.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. What an awesome word. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. And He will direct your paths. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Coral.
The word that keeps coming to me is faith. For those whose children and the rest of the family have not come to the Lord, have faith in me. Haven't I promised that you and your household will bow down to me?
Thank you, Lord.
So have faith. I shall bring that promise to fruition.
Thank
Just
you,
have
Lord.
Faith.
Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Let's keep on believing God for our loved ones. The Holy Spirit is reminding us this morning, we must have faith. Who else would like to come and share? Feel free. So we wait upon the Holy Spirit this morning. Maybe this morning you've been in despair. Maybe you've come here and you don't know Jesus. You need to commit your life to Him today. You're sick of the way you've been living. Why don't you come to the front here? Just love to pray with you. maybe, you know, that word about despair was so powerful. Maybe you're in a despair, not knowing which way to turn. You need the Holy Spirit just to come alongside you. And that, you know, as Peter was speaking and laying hands on people, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. As Saul was anointed, the Holy Spirit rushed upon him. And we can pray for that this morning. We still have a few minutes. Anyone else like to come as we sing this beautiful song? Holy Spirit
of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
Yes, Holy Spirit, let's stand together.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit. And Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
I'm just a bit terrified because I don't speak in front of people, but I keep getting in Genesis, God created the world with words. And so everything we see around us came because He spoke. And then He created us in His own image. That means our words are also powerful, because the Bible says His words are like a two-edged sword. And if He created us in His own image, that means our words are powerful. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. So even when you're not feeling strong, you have to declare that you're strong. Do not let your words, when you go through trials and temptations, decide or depict what, you know, because the words you speak have the power to make. And if you keep speaking words that break you down, you will break. So as God has created us in His own image, let us speak words that reflect His power. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just sing it once or twice more. You've got a, I just sense there's someone here that's got a word for someone, but you're too shy to come up here to share it. Just come up. Don't be afraid. This is family time. Let me just wait upon the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. On in, potent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Say it again.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art
someone that's not here, but that's watching, and that's Francois, and he's over in Queensland right now. But Francois, I feel the Lord wants to encourage you this morning, brother. You know, you walked the extra mile with me. You helped me when I was in a desperate situation, and You came to my house every day and you helped me. And you, you know, God wants to encourage you that he's put his hand on your life. And sometimes you want to draw back because you've been hurt many times and people misunderstand you. But God understands you and he sees your heart. And he wants to encourage you this morning, Francois. The Lord's got his hand on your life. Keep on walking the extra mile. Keep on walking and listening to the Holy Spirit. He will continue to use you in amazing ways. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there's an awesome presence of God here right now. I feel it. I don't just say that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Won't you start just thanking him right now? Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're so awesome. Lord, you reach out to those in despair. You reach out to those that are struggling this morning. You lift us up, Holy Spirit. You spoke words to us, Lord. You said we must trust in you with all our heart and acknowledge you in all our ways, and you will direct our paths. Holy Spirit, we're just so grateful this morning. You said we must keep believing you for our loved ones. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for every word that's gone out here today. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. Let's sing it another time. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my heart. Not just in this place, but in my heart. As we close the service this morning.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in my heart. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in my heart. Omnipotent Father.